101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. In studio, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Once a month comes in, spends the entire hour with us answering your questions. We got a lot of questions on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. You can also touch base on the Keel Facebook page. There's a post there if you want to comment on that. Mayor, first of all, thank you for coming out. Always appreciate it.
It's always fun.
Exciting news yesterday. I got the press release. Exciting news with this agreement with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. The $50 million has been approved, if you will. But there are a lot of stipulations.
There are, you know.
And protections.
This stuff has been coming for well over a year. What I've been telling people is that the reason we hadn't moved forward is that the deal kept getting bigger. I mean, we were expecting, you know, maybe $10 million of investment, $5, $10 million of investment in Millennium Studios, which will become G-Unit Studios. And now we're looking at $78 million of investment in just in that facility and $124 million in investment in the downtown area. So that is just a huge deal. We'll now put the finishing touches on the lease.
What about the flooding? Is that still?
We're undertaking some mitigation of that. The only time that it's had water incursion was, I think we had a five inch rain, so it would be a rare occurrence anyway. But we're addressing that issue.
It's down in a kind of a bowl.
It is kind of in the bottom of a bowl.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Who enforces because this agreement comes with a lot of teeth. It looks like
it does.
Who will be the enforcement agent? Will it be the state?
Ultimately, it'll be the state through that Economic Development Corporation. That has the five members. That's the primary people who will be the watchdogs over those funds, and it's a reimbursement program. So he doesn't get the money. He doesn't get the money up front. He gets the money after he's spent money.
And it's percentaged out per property. 40% for Millennium Studios, 40% for StageWorks, and 20% for the G-Dome.
That's correct.
Now, so, I understand we will still own, obviously, Millennium and StageWorks.
Right.
Will the state or the city have any ownership of the G-Dome?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I haven't looked at that specific issue, but I believe that that will still be privately owned.
What will be you and or the city's involvement in following up on this money and how it is spent? Will you go to their meetings? Will you have recommendations? What's your plan?
No, what really will happen is the local entity will receive the money from the state and immediately pass it on to the Economic Development Corporation. So we really won't have much involvement with this. We'll have greater involvement in the taxing district, the extra 2%, that will have a greater deal, a bit of involvement in, because that doesn't involve state dollars. Those would be local dollars.
I was a little concerned when Mr. Knuckles told us that he this deal requires him to host 26 events a year.
Correct.
That's every 2 weeks.
That's right.
Does that include film productions or something going on in one of these buildings?
I think the 26 events.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Basketball tournaments, concerts, anything
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yes. It is very detailed, and there's a great deal of accountability there. And really, it relieves my concern because our accountability in ours was much less demanding than this, but we weren't putting up any money for it either.
Sure, so right.
The state is requiring 26, plus there's a reserve of 4 weekdays and 2 weekends for the city, where we have the ability to use those facilities basically free of rent, not free of charge, but free of rent. So we'd have to pay out of pocket for security or whatever, audio, visual, whatever else we had to do. But the city or the state can use those So we get some direct benefit from the deal, too.
Is Humor and Harmony on tap for 2026?
I think it will happen, but it'll happen later in the year than we thought, because it's taken a little while to get this deal in place, and that's what it was hinged on.
He okay. was planning on March, but that's not going to happen.
I don't know. There's okay. Well, could not get it done for March.
Okay.
Is Independence Stadium part of that?
We don't have a full plan yet.
Okay.
But the last time he did it in August, it was hot.
It was
very
hot.
And that caused a problem. Are we looking at a different date other than August, perhaps?
I don't have a date. Okay. And the last time I gave you a date, it turned out not to be right. So I'm not giving you a date right. today.
I completely understand. What was your involvement on appointing the members of this commission, the oversight? Did you recommend names? Did the state do all of it?
That's all the state.
And you're completely fine with the members of that panel?
I'm very pleased with the members of the panel.
Okay. Will there be any communication?
I'm sure there'll be some communication. I mean, particularly Grant Knuckles and I are good friends. And I'm sure that we'll have occasion to discuss it on a regular basis. I'm not sure that we'll get a quarterly report again. This is really designed to make sure that the state gets its bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
And these are state appointees. It's all state money. I want to make that clear. There are people who still believe that this is city money. There's no city money involved.
But these are city buildings. We will still own those two.
We will still own those two. Yes.
Okay. So we have to oversee what they're doing to them, I guess.
They'll have to go through approval process with us under the lease, but I don't expect there to be any problems with that.
Okay.
We've got a lot of questions mm-hmm. on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. We will get to those. We're going to take a quick break. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault is in studio for the Ask the Mayor. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
I know we want to get to the bond status. Let me get to some of these on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Please ask the mayor, what is going on with the gold building off I-20? Seems like it's being used as nothing but a billboard.
Well, that's what it looks like to me, too. That one is in litigation, and so I'm not able to comment on it, but we are trying to see what our options are.
So there is litigation.
There is litigation.
Okay.
Okay. What about the hotel on 70th Street that's been sitting and sitting and sitting? Any movement on that?
No, they have current permits, so there's really not any enforcement action for us to take. It's their building, and they're taking a long time to get it completed. It does look a lot better than it has looked.
It does. Are you hopeful that it'll be opening soon?
I am.
Okay. And they've not done. They've not violated. I know they've had ownership changes, and that was part of the delays. But now we have the same team, and they're moving forward.
They have valid permits, and they're current with all their inspections. So there okay. really is not anything that we there's no action that we have available to us to tell somebody to build faster.
It seems like I heard that the most current owner had kind of skedaddled. They couldn't get in touch with him.
That
report.
I don't
you
know.
You haven't heard that?
I know that the contractor has appeared a couple of times before the city council.
Okay.
Looking for money or permits?
No. They were requested to appear to talk about the status of the building.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Holodome. A new owner bought it at auction. I've seen a little bit of work, but not much. I guess you're property standards folks go out there and cite
them. They do, and we were trying to give the new owner a little bit of time to do it on his dime, and we would prefer that it be done on his dime instead of our dime.
Okay.
So I haven't gotten a recent report about what the status of that is, but I do know there were some cleanup activities.
Okay.
I've been curious about this one, too. Ask the mayor from Dale in Shreveport, what is the status to the Linwood overpass? And does the state or NLCOG keep you in the loop about the I-49 connector?
That's two questions. I'll take the first one first. We are currently in negotiations with the railroads. You know, that overpass is an overpass over railroads.
Mm-hmm. Over, like, what, six tracks?
I think they're both Union Pacific and CPKC tracks. And so we...
And why was it closed? Was it damaged?
It was closed because it was unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Just unsafe in general.
Right. The state closed it. It is not a state highway. It is a city road. But the state closed it because it was unsafe.
Had it been struck by a train at some point or something?
No, I don't think... I think it just had deteriorated.
Okay.
So we are negotiating with the railroads because we have a permit to go over their tracks.
Okay.
And to do additional work, we have to get their permission, and they have to agree to what we're doing. And I've had some experience dealing with railroads, and I love my friends at the railroad, but they are sometimes obstinate.
What about the I-49 connector?
I-49 connector, we got a report.
Slow down just a second. What do you mean they're obstinate? Do they not want work being done on the overpass, or they?
They would prefer... I think they would prefer replacement, which we don't. And the replacement is $40 to $50 million. It is not in sight.
Right.
Tell them to give you the cash.
Well, again, these are railroads.
Right.
And we have a very good relationship.
Yeah.
We have to maintain a good relationship with them, but that's where the issue is. For us to say we're going to do significant repairs and make it safe, and that's all that we really have the money to do, and we do have the money to do that between sub-state appropriations and local bond appropriations. We do have the money to do it, so we're trying to move that as quickly as we can.
So we're not worried about yellow-throated barn swallows that are underneath that's holding us up or something?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right.
I-49, inner city connector.
We got a report. As mayor, I sit on the NLCOG board, and in December we got a report that there apparently has been a recommendation of a route. They have not disclosed what that is. And that is now in the Federal Highway Administration hands. We do expect to have some designation of a route before the end of this year.
What excites you? This is from the message board today. What excites you most about the future of Shreveport?
I would say that we have a lot of the things in place to experience a boom in Shreveport, both from an intellectual standpoint and from an economic development standpoint. I think, and one of the things that encourages me the most is the kind of critical mass of young people. We're starting to see younger people step up to the plate. People like Grant Knuckles, for example, mm-hmm. and others in his generation that are enthusiastic about Shreveport, that want to be here, that appreciate what we have here. And so I think that the future of Shreveport is bright. The future of Northwest Louisiana is bright. We have a lot of really good things going for us, but I think it's the young people that I see that are beginning to participate. Many of them have moved back home. They've kind of gone out. I did the same thing many young people did. I went to Bright Lights Big City.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had children.
Right.
And I said, gee, this is a difficult way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I could move back home and be in a smaller place. I moved back from Houston in 1979, and I gained a full work day a week.
Yeah,
just in saved commute time.
Mm-hmm.
And so So I think we have that we ought to be targeting the 30-somethings, not necessarily the 20-somethings. I'm not saying we shouldn't want to have jobs for the 20-somethings, but most young people kind of want to go away from home for a while.
Sure.
And it's kind of hard to fight that sociological trend. So I think what we need to be concentrating on is the family aspect of Shreveport, because it's very positive.
Okay. We got to take a quick break for news. Shreveport Mayor Tom Marcy, in just a moment, because when we get back, you talked about there are a lot of good things happening, a lot of exciting things. We've got a good future in front of us. I want to talk about that briefly when we get back. Mike and McCarty with Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio during the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Aaron McCarty. Here's your Keel News. New round of protests breaking out after another ICE agent is involved in a shooting in Minneapolis, this time when three people allegedly attacked him with snow shovels and broomsticks.
That ICE agent is in the hospital after being ambushed during an attempted arrest of a Venezuelan illegal migrant in Minneapolis. DHS saying, quote, fearing for his life and safety as he was being ambushed by three individuals, the officer fired defensive shots to defend his life. The initial subject was shot in the leg. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said in a statement that state investigators were at the scene and that, quote, I know you're angry, I'm angry. What Donald Trump wants is violence in the streets, but Minnesota will remain an island of decency, of justice, of community, and of peace. Don't give him what he wants.
The man who was shot was also taken to the hospital. A delay for the next Humor and Harmony Festival. It had been set for March of this year, but the dates are being pushed back. Keel News asked Mayor Tom Arsenault if Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has another date in mind.
I don't have a date. Okay. And the last time I gave you a date, it turned out not to be right. So I'm not giving you a date right. Today. Yeah.
The festival drew national attention and guests from all over the country when the first event was held in downtown Shreveport in August of 24. The four-day mega event included all kinds of events ranging from comedy, music, sports, along with cultural events and fitness events for children. Meantime, the Zoning Board of Appeals is set to hear a request for the G-Dome plan for downtown Shreveport. Developers are asking for a variance on height and setback requirements. Once this is approved, construction on the big dome can get started. A Shreveport fire captain who's been under a cloud of suspicion will be allowed to retire instead of being fired. Captain Devin Kennedy had been accused of not following policy while responding to a fire back in April that left four people dead, including two small children. Kennedy was fired after that incident, but appealed to the Civil Service Board. Under this deal, Kennedy will get retirement benefits, but loses his effort to get his job back. Among the three appropriation bills the Senate in Louisiana expected to take up this week is one that includes more than $350 million in earmarks for 51 projects. One of those would dedicate more than $137 million toward construction and maintenance for flood control work in the Atchafalaya River area. Senator Bill Cassidy says preventing high water in that area is critical.
You can actually get backflow back through, I think, Bayou Buff and Bayou Black that goes back up and floods communities further inland. And some of these gates being installed are those gates to prevent that backwater flow.
Cassidy says the money for these projects would actually be less than the money spent last year. Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler has named Shane Cheatham as his pick to be the city's chief administrative officer. The city council expected to confirm the Cheatham appointment during next week's meeting. Another pedestrian hit by a car in Shreveport. This latest incident happened last night on North Market near North Hearn. Pedestrian in critical condition. The crew of Sobek Float Loading Party is tonight from 6 to 8. The big parade Saturday at 1, beginning at the fairgrounds. I'm Aaron McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Sure. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio with Mike and McCarty. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor Hour.
Folks from Burns and McDonald came before the city council this week to give an update on the status of the bond issue and the projects. I looked at some of it. I'll go into more of it. How are we doing?
I think we're doing very well. There were 103 projects.
Wow.
In the streets and drainage. It was $125 billion. And there were 103 different projects, 73 of which are in design or have been designed. You know, we have to design them before we can go out to bid.
Sure.
Because they give us a fixed price and we have to do the specifications before we bid.
Right.
And I think that we will have in excess of 20 projects under construction by the middle of this year. So, that's one, an economic development boom because that's a lot of jobs, but it also means that we're making substantial progress on the improvement of our infrastructure.
Of those 20, can you give us what you expect to get started with?
There's a long stretch of Pines Road to be redone, Curtis Lane, from Greenwood Road to Lakeshore is to be redone. Those are the two biggest ones, but a lot of neighborhood streets because that was really where a lot of our focus was in neighborhoods. A lot of these are in neighborhoods that have long been neglected, and so we're going to be making significant improvements there. So. What we were trying to do is hopefully this year we will sell the second, third of those bonds. And what we hope to do is to have things shovel ready by then so that as soon as we sell those bonds, we can go out to bid and get to work on those.
There's been a theory, two different theories from mayors over the years that I have spoken with about, you know, running out and doing all these projects right away, getting them all started, getting them all going, in that you don't have enough local contractors to handle all that work and boom, get them all done. So you have to bring in out-of-state people. Some mayors have told me they would rather have local people do the work, so they wait, they delay it. Which camp are you in? Does it matter? Is it get the work done? Is that kind of where you are?
I really think it's important to get the work done, but the results of that have been we've had some projects go out to bid that we didn't get any bids on.
Because the locals might be too busy.
Well, yeah, particularly where we're reconstructing asphalt streets. For some reason, we don't have very many providers locally.
Okay.
And as a result of that, we've had several of those projects that we didn't get any bid on. I think we had the Stoner overpass over Lyon Avenue the first time we went out. No bids. So we're trying to package those in a way that's attractive to a larger number of local contractors. We'd obviously like to have the local do it, but the people also gave us a huge mandate to get these things done. And so I guess I'm kind of straddling the fence a little bit, Aaron. I want to get the projects done. I would prefer that they get done by local contractors.
Okay. Let me ask you another question we've talked about before with regard to the consent decree with the Department of Justice and I guess the EPA. We are under a mandate to improve our infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, I believe. And that has warranted higher water and sewer rates. Over time, we've had to increase those rates to help pay for that.
By about 175%.
Yeah.
That's big, big numbers.
Are we looking at another water and sewer increase this year?
I don't think we're looking at a water and sewer increase this year. That's always subject to change. We just refinanced $168 million worth of water and sewer bonds and saved $11 million over 15 years. And so we're hopeful that will help us in forestalling further increases. There will be further water and sewer rate increases without question, but I don't think we're looking at that for 2026.
Folks, we'll tie that to the data center. It will not be connected.
Won't be connected to the data center.
Okay.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the Mayor. Mayor, I want to go back to something you said earlier this hour that's very interesting to me, and I want to ask you what your thoughts. You said we've actually had more traffic fatalities than we've had homicides.
In 2025, that's correct.
In 2025. That is fascinating to me. Does that give you pause to go, maybe we do need to start looking more at traffic enforcement?
I think we do.
And redirect some of our police to traffic enforcement.
Just my own anecdotal experience. I travel, and mostly I'm traveling in the northern part of the city.
Okay.
Not in the far south. But in Highland and South Highland, I just see people running red lights with abandon. Sure.
And in the middle of the day.
In the middle
at 4 in the morning when nobody's around. Yeah.
Yes. I should make that very clear. And you know, not even what I would call a pink light.
Right. You know,
Where they're going through on a yellow and it turns red. They probably could have stopped. But I mean, just full-blown, just blowing through the intersection.
Which meant they're probably going too fast anyway.
Yeah, stoner. It's mostly, my observation is it's mostly the crossing streets. Stoner, Olive, Herndon, all those streets in Highland. So, you know, really be very careful when you're out there. Don't jump that green light. You know, all of us look for the yellow light so that we can be going on green as quickly as possible. Don't jump that green light because there may be somebody barreling through that intersection. But and you know, we had a number of pedestrian deaths. It's four or five, so there's no statistical significance because the sample's too small. But we did have a number of pedestrians. So I would say to pedestrians, please. Cross where you have a light, particularly on these major highways like North Market. Mm-hmm. We had several fatalities on North Market. It is dark. That is a state highway. Mm-hmm. So they're responsible. The state's responsible for the lighting. But none of these have happened to intersections. They've been people walking in the road, wearing dark clothing when it's dark. And the motorists just can't see somebody in time to avoid hitting them.
So does that lend you to begin thinking maybe we need to boost that motorcycle division back up with the Shreveport Police Department?
We certainly need to have some additional enforcement, and I'll be in discussions with Chief Smith about that, because again, you know, You get one thing going down, you get something else going up, and it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole sometimes.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, another very important topic is blight. People are still concerned about it, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Micah McCarty, 7 FM 710 Keo on the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask them.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mayor, there's two apartment complexes that have, I know, been a thorn in your side, right on Centenary, that have just been a nightmare for your administration and the Shreveport Fire Department. Anything new, any movement on those and blight in general? I know you've had an emphasis on tearing down some of these houses.
The Oak Terrace one was one on Centenary. Has a relatively new owner who does intend to do something with it. That's kind of encouraging. The others we will ultimately have to tear down. We're looking at alternative resources for,
like, the Jolie
for tearing down. Yes.
Because that's expensive.
It's very, very expensive, and the Jolie is set back, so you don't see that from the road, but it is a problem. Some of the others, Villa Norte, for example, is on a a well-traveled path, so it's an eyesore. So we're looking at what we can do to get those down as soon as we can.
But that eats up your demolition budget.
It does. And so that eats up a lot of the stuff that we do in the neighborhood. So we have to engage in some triage about that, and we have to set priorities. We can't get to every building that needs to be demolished and get them all demolished this year.
You're involved with a state committee on blight. Tell us about that.
A task force set up by a Senate concurrent resolution 62 of the last legislature. And in fact, I'm going down for our second meeting on Friday down in Baton Rouge. I have some ideas for state legislation that would help us, and we're hopeful to get that passed.
On that very topic.
Yeah, there's a message. Is it possible to start a citywide volunteer group that would move around the city and clean up the area? City would supply materials and pickup, et cetera.
We did 11 of those in 2025, and we'll be doing some more. And the Shreveport Green provided us with volunteers. We had over 312 volunteers in that effort, so that is something that we certainly are willing to pursue.
One more thing real quick. There was talk that Paint Your Heart Out was going to go away, that it wasn't the best use of money. What's the status of Paint Your Heart Out Shreveport?
Well, Paint Your Heart Out doesn't happen again until 2027, and we're planning to move forward with it.
So you're going to do it?
There may be some changes in it, but it's a very popular program.
Okay, cool.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What a 107 FM 710 Keel, Mikey McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Senator Bill Cassidy joining us this morning. Senator, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Mike. I like your lead-in music, man. I was sitting here just like juking in my bedroom. You know, that was
Thank you very much. Let's our own Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle is one of six states that are suing the FDA about the abortion drug. Tell us about what's going on with this and the abortion pills that are being shipped into Louisiana.
So we had a hearing yesterday. I'm the chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee. We had a hearing, I called a hearing, on the abortion pill that's being shipped across state lines to obviously people use it for abortion. And Liz came and testified, and it was a fantastic hearing. I'll give you the highlights and the lowlights. Louisiana, it's against the law, but doctors in California and New York are shipping that, are writing prescriptions and sending that pill in without ever seeing the patient. In some cases, as Liz pointed out, people are being forced to take the pill. So there's a case in Pointe-Coupee Parish. A young lady thought she was going to have a gender reveal party. Her mother coerced her into taking the pill, and she ended up, of course, aborting. And instead of a gender reveal, she had a dead child in a toilet seat. Just awful.
Good gosh.
And there were stories, a case talked about of a guy in Texas who slips the abortion pills into his wife's or his girlfriend's meal and has her abort that way. So the fact that there's no longer a requirement for the doctor to actually see the patient means that people can order it online and take it sometimes inappropriately.
Did I hear the numbers correctly from Liz Merle that there are 900 such abortions in Louisiana every month?
So there is a pro-choice group that put that statistic out. She said it's the only statistic she has, but that's what her understanding is from that one thing. And it all started, by the way, because during COVID, the Biden administration did away with the requirement that you actually see a patient before you give it to them, before you give them the pill. The problem with that is that the pill is only supposed to be taken up to week 10. But apparently women are ordering this when they are like week 20. Now, that means that the fetus is too big and cannot get through the opening to the womb. And so you're more likely to have a complication because when you begin to abort, the remains can't get out. And so the woman is at increased risk for infection and other problems. There's a lot in this, and we had a great hearing talking about it.
What next? You're calling on the FDA to step in. What do you want them to do?
So they can reverse that decision. Commissioner McCary, Secretary Kennedy, they can almost with a stroke of the pen say, we're going to reverse what the Biden administration did and say that you got to have an in-person visit for this. Now, believe me, it could end up being telemedicine. Right now, some guy named Mike is going online, filling out a form, and getting the pill sent to him. And I said some guy named Mike. There's actually no verification as to what the length of the pregnancy is and whether or not the person ordering is actually the woman who's pregnant as opposed to someone who might, like, force her to take it. There's a lot wrong here. But can I give you the low light of the kind of funny low light of the hearing?
Senator, this is
that
also...
That would be Bernie Sanders, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I saw that. This is also the party that doesn't require an ID for you to vote. Why would they require a doctor visit to get a medication?
Go with the low lights. Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
So the Democratic witness was an obstetrician from Georgia. And at some point, I think Roger Marshall, who's also a Republican senator, who's also an OBGYN, said, would you agree, because he's trying to make a case that this is a big woman's issue, and it is, absolutely, that a man can't have a baby? And she wouldn't agree to that.
She wouldn't agree to that. Okay.
And so Josh Hawley got up there and spent 5 minutes trying to press her on, wait, can a biologic man have a baby? Well, I don't want to go there because...
Oh, my gosh.
And that was just after their side saying we've got to rely on the science.
Well, they don't have a definition of what a woman is either.
That was, I think, her point. She was so reluctant to actually define what a man and a woman is that she couldn't acknowledge that a biologic man cannot have a baby. It was kind of the absurdity of them after just saying we have to rely on the science, saying that we can't say that a man can't have a baby. Anyway.
Let me boil it down. I think many folks believe that these decisions should be decisions left up to the states. Louisiana has clearly made our decision, and now folks are subverting it, and they're arguing that they should be allowed to subvert it. That's where I get mixed up here.
Yeah, and you should be mixed up. If, for example, Ruben, your sound engineer, was out there doing a fraud that was taking money from somebody in Montana. Montana would extradite the person, in this case, Ruben. Hey, sorry, Ruben. Would extradite
Ruben,
the
they
person
found you
from
out.
Louisiana to Montana. And so that's the way these state laws are working. But these states are putting in shield laws, New York, California, for example, which shields the doctor sending these prescriptions across state lines illegally, shields them from prosecution. So they are actively subverting.
Mm. Can we talk Obamacare real quick? Because people are in our community,
Absolutely.
Have been, some of our city council members and the parish commission have been yelling and hollering about people that are losing coverage. Who's losing coverage?
Nobody should lose coverage. You can still get policies off the Obamacare exchanges. There's some subsidies that are expiring. We're trying to get so the subsidies can be renewed, but you got to put in some reforms. There was probably billions of dollars stolen from the taxpayers because people were signing folks up for Obamacare policies who didn't know that they were getting signed up for policies. There's also a lot of other problems with what's going on now, which basically enrich insurance companies, but oftentimes don't do anything for the consumer, if you will, the enrollee.
Are the premiums going up for people, though? Is that because that's a concern here?
So two things. Of course, we're only talking about the exchanges, which is the Obamacare exchanges, which is about like 7% of the population. Premiums are going up. They're going up anyway. For some people, they will be going up more than they otherwise would. And we're trying to address that. If the president weighs in, we can make a deal. Ultimately, the president's, if we get a deal, it's going to be because President Trump makes it happen. And that's what we're working on.
Now, didn't I hear that fewer people are signing up for Obamacare?
Not that many fewer, about a million fewer out of about 22, 23 million. And I'm a little bit hesitant on that because there was a lot of people in Obamacare who didn't know they were Obamacare. And so the some unscrupulous insurance brokers were signing people up who, like, didn't know it, but the broker was getting the commission. There was a guy in Florida who got busted, sent to prison for $133 million worth of fraud, in which he was signing people up who didn't know they were getting signed up, and he put in his pocket the commission. And they got away with it because under Joe Biden, they put in subsidies, so some people didn't have to pay anything.
Was this
in
Minnesota?
Have to pay anything. No, this was in Florida.
I'm being sarcastic.
I get it. But if you want to talk about healthcare fraud, Florida is always the place you go. The Florida man is the place to go.
Mm. Senator Bill Cassidy, thank you so much. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you both.
Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Hold on, I got to look this up. I was watching the local news because I got fed up, Aaron. These lunatics that are fighting ICE.
Mm-hmm.
Let me break this down for you. Let me break this down, what's happening. We know Democrats want an open border. They proved it during the Biden administration. They completely opened the border. 10 million illegals in this country. They want no identification for voters. Anybody can vote anytime,
mm-hmm.
as many times as you want, because you're not verifying anybody's identity.
Right, you're not checking.
Trump came in and put a stop to all of that, which put a stop to their votes, which puts a stop to their power. And that's what it's all about. That's why this fight against ICE. Who in their right minds would be opposed to removing child predators, rapists, and murderers out of their communities? Yes. Illegal people who aren't even supposed to be here. So not only are they not supposed to be here, they're murderers.
Right.
They're rapists. They're human sex traffickers. Not to mention terrorists and terrorist organizations that came across unfiltered, unvetted, and unchecked.
Yeah.
Thousands. You think there aren't cells planning things against our country right now in this country?
Boy, big time.
Do you think that didn't happen? You're fooling yourself.
So true. So true.
And these people, if you watch the videos of these people, Aaron, that are in the streets throwing bottles of urine on ICE agents in their cars, frozen bottles of water, which is like a brick.
Oh, absolutely.
You can crush somebody's skull with one.
Serious damage, you bet.
Running over them with their cars. That ICE agent that killed the lady, in which is an unfortunate situation, has internal damage. He had internal bleeding. They said, oh, it's nothing more than bumping the refrigerator door with his hip. No, that's not true. The bottom line is Trump came in and is deporting their votes.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the votes. That's what it's all about. And these people who are out of their minds, you can't tell me if you watch the video of these people screaming at these ICE agents, this anger. You can't tell me that's a sane person.
Yeah.
They're also puppets. Who's paying for this? Who's organizing these protests?
It keeps escalating, too. Every day it's something new.
That's right, because more and more people are being recruited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us in about 10 minutes. His pick for CAO in Bossier.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. Take a breath. 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us, talking about his new pick for CAO right after the break. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Mayor, or should I say Mayor of the great city of Bossier City.
Look at you.
Tommy Chandler joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, and it's only getting better each day. It gets better and better every day.
Congratulations. You've got a new selection for CAO, Shane Cheatham. Tell us. Now, Shane was your pick back in 2021, but the council didn't vote to approve. Do you have the votes this time around?
Yes, sir. You know, I made sure I covered all my, you know.
Not your first rodeo.
I made sure, sir.
Not your first rodeo.
No, no, sir. No, sir. And so, you know, I've been talking to all the councilmen, and I know at least I got my four votes. It's going to probably be unanimous, more than likely.
What are your marching orders to Shane?
Keep Bossier as great as it is now and keep it going. Shane loves Bossier City. You know, he loves the whole entire city, just not South Bossier, but the whole entire city. And he wants to see the best in it, too. And I have my confidence on him to help me even make it even better this term. And maybe if I get another term, I'm looking for that, too.
Well, he's got big shoes to fill. I hope he doesn't mind walking in high heels, because Amanda Nottingham, that's a tough act to follow.
I don't know if his shoes are going to look as good as hers, but, you know, I think he's going to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. Has no problem.
Okay, a CAO typically runs the city. No offense to you, but there are lots of ceremonial things you do. You kiss a lot of babies and go to a lot of do a lot of speeches. The nuts and bolts of budgeting and doing all that is going to be his baby. Is that the way it's going to be handled in Bossier?
Oh yes, ma'am. And like I said, I have my confidence in him in doing that. He's going to be able to run the budgets. He's going to be able to work, you know, all the deals that are going on with the city. And all, you know, with all the departments and whatnot, too. And we will talk, you know, of course, we'll talk daily and keep in touch. And we've been, you know, ever since he didn't get it last time, we've been, you know, talking back and forth over the years. And I'm so glad that he accepted my, you know, my appointment on being the next CAO.
Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler, tell us a little bit, for those that are unfamiliar with who Shane Cheatham is, tell us who he is, what he does, and what qualifies him to be CAO.
Well, Shane has a realty business, 318, that he's the broker for that, and he owns 318 Real Estate, but he also works with Carl Ardwan and Jeff Landry with the state. He covers a lot of different parishes all over the north of Louisiana to help all the different little cities and to get water and all the different things for the state. And, you know, he was with the school board for years, too, before he left there. Mm-hmm. He was going to come to be a councilman. Then I took him. Then I wanted him to be my councilman, which we don't like to talk about the past. It didn't work, but
right.
we're just going to think about the future and how good it's going to be.
Well, it's a new council this time. You don't have the previous council members to deal with.
No, sir. And this council, I mean, this council, we all talk pretty much every day. And our main goal is to do the best for Bossier City.
Confirmation for Shane, you expect it on Tuesday?
Yes, ma'am. Next Tuesday, I'm looking for. I think it'll be a unanimous vote for him. I don't think there's any problem. Pretty much all the councilmen are all go for it and are excited.
When does he start? Once he's confirmed, how soon?
Me and him talk. It might be not to like the 1st of February. You know, so he's got to give his time in for the governor. And we're looking at maybe the 1st of February, But, of course, we'll be talking every day and working things out prior to him getting there.
I texted him this morning. He said he had a commitment this morning with his job with the governor. Explain what he's been doing.
I mean, he goes to all these different, you know, cities. Before I got him, he was supposed to get with 72 different mayors and work with them on their cities and whatnot to help benefit whatever problems they have. He'd help them and getting the state money and having the state help with them.
Okay.
He could explain it a whole lot better than me because he does it every day.
He's going to join us tomorrow. He's agreed to join us at the same time tomorrow morning.
This time, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But you love talking to him. He's a great guy.
I have to ask you a question that I just got in my email today. It's a completely different subject. Do you mind? It's directed at you.
You always do it. Go ahead.
And you may or may not know anything about this. So it's regarding cameras that are popping up in Bossier.
Intersection cameras.
Yep. I'm quoting from the email. They claim these are license plate readers, but they're supposedly loading facial recognition. There's a camera at the entrance to Live Casino, one at Airline and Viking. Maybe Mayor Chandler can explain why these things are being used. Are these facial recognition cameras, and what's going on?
Well, I have to apologize. I mean, I haven't discussed any of that with any of my workers or anybody. It could be the sheriff, or it could be, you know, the state police or something. I can find out about that and get back with you. But
okay.
They're called flock cameras.
Sir?
They're called flock cameras.
Tell you the truth, sir, I've not been versed on that. I haven't been talked about
I'm not familiar with that either.
And Bossier has not endorsed anything like the speed zone cameras that Shreveport's put in school zones. And you're not in favor of those, I believe, the last time we spoke, correct?
No, man, we don't need those. Our policemen do their job, and they do it very well.
If these are facial recognition cameras, do you support that?
I mean, it all depends on what they're going to use it for. I mean, are they trying to find, you know, rapists? They're trying to find pedophiles? They're trying to find it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to, you know, to help the safety of Bossier City and Shreveport, too. If it's going to better, the safety of my citizens, yes, I'm for it.
All right. Well, if you'll do a little checking, and we'll follow up with you.
I would love to. I would love to. I'm sorry I didn't know that information.
No problem. And I apologize for throwing a curveball, and you know that's kind of what I love to do.
Always in the last minute. You do a good job.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler. Thank you, Mayor, and we'll talk to you soon. Mikey McCarty. Coming up after the news, 8 o'clock, Gary Lash and Raymond Lee going to join us. There's a regime change at the YMCA. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
You. More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, what I was going to get to earlier, and I got distracted, I got sidetracked, mm-hmm. I started chasing a squirrel, was watching the local news last night.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Haynes said, slight possibility of snow.
He's lying.
Now, we've had the warmest winter that we've had in years.
We hit a record high last week of 83.
Well, get ready. Because Saturday night, we're looking at 26 for a low on Saturday night. Now, the possibility is minuscule, and of course, there won't be any accumulation. Kids don't get too excited.
It's like 3% chance.
It's not anything really to...
My problem with that is that weekends are my swimming days, you know, and I'm going to need to get... let's just say from the Cowboys or the Saints, I'm going to need to get one of those jackets they put on the sidelines have really heaters all through them just to get to my car when I'm wet. Cause I'm going to have icicles on me.
I'm sure the Y has something, don't they? They have some really nice, they have nice stuff. They wrap you up in something.
Maybe valet parking. Maybe we can talk to the new boss about that and see if we can work that out. They're going to be joining us after the top of the hour. A big change happening at the Y.
There's a regime change, if you will.
And we'll talk to you all about, you want to know everything about their pickleball court they're building? I'm joking.
Really?
It's not theirs. They're going to punch
us.
Oh,
the new park, the YMCA pickleball park?
It's not theirs. We're going to clear all that up. We're going to talk about, I was by the Little League fields yesterday. Holy cow. They're amazing. They're close to being done. They're close.
And where is that?
Right there by the Y on Preston and Knight Street.
Preston, right.
It's a beautiful complex. It's going to be gorgeous. And that's going to, like pickleball, that's going to attract visitors from all over the region, bringing those big tournaments in. That place is beautiful.
Gary Lash and Raymond Lee going to join us right after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app. FM, 710 Kiel, Micah McCarty in studio with YMCA Director Gary Lash. Well, I guess we can say former now.
Yeah.
Former.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, and you've got the new, you look, this is your baby.
You're the YMCA gal. They're really, really special to me. Raymond Lee is the new boss of the YMCA. Executive Director, you're running the whole show now, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Pretty big shoulders, big shoes to fill. Gary Lash has been, how long have you been the director?
23 years.
Okay, get real close to that thing.
23 years.
Wow. Okay, what prompted you to decide you're going to retire?
You know, God just put me in there, and then here lately, he showed me it's time to do something else.
Okay.
It's time to go and spend time with my wife. I got grandkids, chase them around. And Raymond, you know, we discussed a national search. I thought Raymond has been here for 20 of those years. He came in as a sports director, and he's done a phenomenal job. As some of the staff said, he's real good with problem people. I said, okay, he's the man.
Yeah, he handles me nicely.
I was just going to say, you're talking to the biggest problem right there.
But it is. It's been a blessing, and I retired a week or so ago on the 28th of December.
Okay.
I'll work for Raymond as a program director. For the baseball fields, but that was delayed. But Raymond has done a phenomenal job, and he's been the manager at BHP for several years, the branch there, sports director, and has filled a lot of different roles and has done a great job. So.
I see him. I don't see you doing this. I see him fixing everything. He knows everything about that that building, and I'm sure the other buildings too.
He was trained well.
What are your big plans? What are your big priorities, Raymond, for the Y? Any monster changes?
I'd say it's maintaining what Gary has led us through. I mean, when Gary got the YMCA, it was in pretty bad shape, and Gary's really put in the 20 years that I've been with him. We've built things. When I had sports, I couldn't even buy uniforms without a cash in hand, and now we got good relationships with our vendors, good relationships with the schools, and so we've really built that up. So I'd like to maintain what we have. You know, obviously, we'd like to get through this year and get those ball fields going and get them up and running. And then from there, I think at the end of 2026, we really sit down and evaluate what the future of the Y is for the next 5 to 10 years.
And he's got to find that chemical in the pool that, you know, turns the water purple when people pee
in the
pool.
They promised me they're not going to do that. Let's talk about the Little League fields. What's the status? They're right there across from the BHP Y. Was it a $10 million project?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, almost $10 million, and it's supposed to be finished in mid-April, which that's a good date because initially March the 9th was going to be it. So you know this slips a little bit, but we really anticipate Little League finishing out the season there, which goes through about May 21st.
All right.
So that's going to be exciting, and if you go by and look at it, and the contractors are telling me people are coming out and taking a look, it's incredible. It looks more or better than I ever expected.
How many fields are it?
We've got 8 fields, 2 pods, back-to-back, 4 on each one. We've got a concession stand, restrooms, and then we have we're putting little pavilions in the center of each one with a canopy and picnic tables.
You're already booking tournaments. Is that true?
We do have some tournaments lined up. There's a contingency plan if we don't get finished in time. Obviously, with construction, nothing ever finishes quite when you think it's going to. But at the same time, talked to the contractor yesterday. They're confident about the April date. So hopefully by May, Little League will be out there and tournaments will start.
April, that's not far away.
Not at all. Not at all.
And what size tournaments? I mean, how many people are you expecting these fields to bring in over the course of the year?
You know, 2D is an organization that puts a lot of these tournaments together. Right now, there's 16 scheduled.
Wow.
Beginning the third week in April. And they'll be packed on all the fields. And these are 13 and under mostly, down to T-ball. I think the Little League has 17 T-ball teams now, which is a big number of people anticipating these ball fields getting finished.
Cause that's, we just don't that's have exciting. Like that. That's yeah, great. So.
And both of us were travel parents with athletic kids. And people don't realize how much that means to the local economy. These are folks coming in from out of town. They're going to eat. They're going to stay in hotels. They're going to go do recreational things when they're not playing ball. It's a big deal.
Well, it is. And just for example, like our swim, we hosted during COVID. We were fortunate to host a high school, Louisiana High School swim meets. And, I mean, that was $1.4 million economic impact to the area for a four-day deal. I mean, so you're bringing people in for hotels, restaurants, and stuff like that. It's going to be positive for us.
Mm. Can y'all stick with us? We'll talk pickleball when we get back?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Micah McCarty.
He's clenching his cheeks.
I know. I saw that. Gary Lash, Raymond Lee from the YMCA in studio, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
In studio with now retired YMCA Executive Director Gary Lash and the new guy, who's not really new, mm-hmm. been there 20 years.
Yes.
Raymond Lee in studio with Mike and McCarty.
Tell a quick story because both of these guys know my oldest son very well. My oldest son worked for the Y for a while, but I met Gary because of my oldest son.
Years when he came to your house and said, yeah.
No, I went to his house. I literally showed up at your house on a Saturday morning.
Yep.
My son had done something he shouldn't have did. And he was working for the Y at the time. And
he was 13 or 14.
He was young. Yeah, I had to pick him up. He wasn't driving yet.
Right.
And he shouldn't have did it. And I raised hell. A, he had to sweep and clean a convenience store.
B, clean the toilets.
B, he had to go to Gary's house on a Saturday morning and apologize.
Yeah, she brought him to apologize, you know, and he was a sad sack and turned out to be incredible kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And because she made him come apologize. Mm-hmm. Have some accountability there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's how we first met. We knew of each other probably, but that was our first meeting. And so long story short, he's been in my life for a long time and has had a huge influence. Raymond, too, doesn't realize how big an influence every time I talk to my son, you see Raymond, tell him hi. So anyway, he loves you dearly.
Well, and now he's in the military. He's leading men.
Yes.
He's in charge of men.
Yes. He's a lieutenant in the Marines and he's in California and he's a good guy. Both of my sons, I've been blessed. So let's clear up a lot of misconceptions about pickleball.
Pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about behind the Kroger that's out?
Yeah, that's a long story, too. The pickleball.
You can't gloss over that because there are some people that don't know that story.
Well, for years and years and years, there was a rumor that the Y was going to sell their Forbing property and there was going to be a big grocery store coming in. And word was leaking out it was going to be Kroger. And Gary was actually our first guest on Keel in 2014. When we moved to Keel, when Robert and I moved to Keel, and we joked with him all the time, tell us about the Kroger. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't tell us anything. He was all quiet. So the running joke is, hey, I think it's Kroger coming out there. And he knew all along.
Right.
Biggest misconceptions, Raymond, that because you're going to pick up this ball now and carry it as they start building these pickleball. What's the biggest misconception about this proposal?
With the pickleball courts, don't know what the misconception is, but I can tell you what the situation is, and that's we're working with the parish. The parish is going to allow us or give us the opportunity to manage the facility. The property, obviously, is YMCA property, and then the rest of it will be managed. The maintenance, the lawn care, all that stuff will be the city, and the city will build the complex, parish. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Gary. We'll build the park that will also have pickleball on it. It'll be primarily a pickleball park.
Who will own it?
The parish will own it.
The YMCA owns the property. They will lease the property from the Y. They build it 100% with their dollars. Then they want the Y to manage it because they don't really have the capacity to do that. And so we manage that for Caddo Parish, but it'd be a Caddo Parish facility.
Okay.
So what does that mean when you say manage the property? You hire the employees? Are they parish employees or are they Y employees? How does that work?
The management and the shop will be managed by YMCA employees. We'll set up events, we'll maintain the pro shop and things of that nature.
And the scheduling of the courts and
yes,
all
ma'am.
That?
We'll handle all that.
Do I have to be a member of the Y to play pickleball?
No, ma'am.
I can come out, go. I don't even have to come in the Y to go play. I can go to their little hut they're going to have. I say hut. It's going to be a building.
Yes, ma'am.
And sign up to play, pay them my money, and go play.
Yeah, it'll be a membership-based deal. Also an opportunity if you just want to guest play, but it'll be strictly isolated to the pickleball court. And then obviously, you know, hopefully there'll be some agreement we can make for Y employees to have, or Y members to have an opportunity to get maybe a discounted rate to be part of the pickleball.
Okay. Are y'all hearing a timetable, Gary, about when this could be completed? It looks like the money will be here shortly.
Yeah, 27, because they have to do public bids and they have to go through that whole thing. And but it's going to be phenomenal. And people will say, well, it's outdoors, it's hot. Well, all the tennis is outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. But at this facility, the courts will be covered, the seating covered with some high-tech type of fabrics in order to reduce the temperature and fans. It's going to be phenomenal. There's a lot of courts. I've gone over to Dallas to Rockwall and looked at some different things, and they're all outdoors, and everybody's happy about them, you know. So,
do you think the capacity in terms of hosting tournaments and using the courts will meet the level they keep telling us is if you're occupied 40% of the time, we'll be able to pay the money back? Are y'all optimistic we're going to hit that number?
Oh, I think so. I think it'll be much more than that, you know, because of where it's located. It's easy to get to. They're going to be programs for students out there, for young kids, that the parish will help put together in conjunction with the school system. So it's going to introduce a lot of people to that sport, and the sport continues to grow.
It's been around. A lot of people don't realize it's been around since the 60s.
Right, that's right. But in California.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We won't hold it against them for that. Yeah. But it just continues to grow.
Right.
There's courts in South Shreveport, and Corby's has now pickleball courts. And so this huge complex is going to bring a lot of people in. I'm glad that they decided to do the 19 courts and to do it right. So the USA Pickleball says, they've kind of sanctioned this project and said this is going to be good for the tourers.
Yeah, when you walk in, you talk to 19 courts, that we go back to the same concept or idea about the baseball fields, is that that's going to be more economic impact and draw things to this area. And that's really kind of where the bread and butter is to help out this area.
I see it maybe even expanding. I mean, because if I go to a tournament with one of my kids, when I did, I would want to be kind of in a hotel that's kind of nearby. Yeah. You see that things will start maybe even developing a little bit. Not that that area needs to develop more, but even more opportunities in that area.
Maybe they'll get a grocery store.
Kroger's possibly.
Yeah. But a hotel?
Yes.
Maybe more things like that?
I think the potential is there, and I think that's on the horizon.
Okay. Let's go back to general one real quick. What sports do y'all have? What sports? People don't realize how many sports you guys have.
We do flag football. We do basketball. We do soccer. We also have our volleyball, which is now taking off, which is one of the top growing sports for females right now in the U.S. is volleyball. Wow. And we are actually going to pitch our first league in May where they can play. We used to do just kind of like an academy where we train and get them prepared for middle school and high school. But the numbers have grown so much that we are able to have our own league now.
Thank you guys for
There's
coming
some
in.
Adult sports.
Oh,
some
yeah.
Adult basketball, and they're going to develop some things out at the new ballpark.
Oh, very cool. Thank y'all for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary Lash and Raymond Lee.
Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you, sir.
He's congratulations on
he's
your retirement.
He's going to do great. Thank you. He's going to do great.
Don't believe anything you hear about what I do in the pool.
Understood.
Okay, thanks.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, some updates on the Bossier City Administration. Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler told us what those are. He's got a new CAO. Find out more about that right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Mayor, or should I say Mayor of the great city of Bossier City.
Look at you.
Tommy Chandler joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, and it's only getting better each day. It gets better and better every day.
Congratulations. You've got a new selection for CAO, Shane Cheatham. Tell us. Now, Shane was your pick back in 2021, but the council didn't vote to approve. Do you have the votes this time around?
Yes, sir. You know, I made sure I covered all my, you know.
Not your first rodeo.
I made sure, sir.
Not your first rodeo.
No, no, sir. No, sir. And so, you know, I've been talking to all the councilmen, and I know at least I got my four votes. It's going to probably be unanimous, more than likely.
What are your marching orders to Shane?
Keep Bossier as great as it is now and keep it going. Shane loves Bossier City. You know, he loves the whole entire city, just not South Bossier, but the whole entire city. And he wants to see the best in it, too. And I have my confidence on him to help me even make it even better this term. And maybe if I get another term, I'm looking for that, too.
Well, he's got big shoes to fill. I hope he doesn't mind walking in high heels because Amanda Nottingham, that's a tough act to follow.
I don't know if his shoes is going to look as good as hers, but, you know, I think he's going to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. Has no problem.
Okay, a CAO typically runs the city. No offense to you, but there are lots of ceremonial things you do. You kiss a lot of babies and go to a lot of speeches. The nuts and bolts of budgeting and doing all that is going to be his baby. Is that the way it's going to be handled in Bossier?
Oh yes, ma'am. And like I said, I have my confidence in him in doing that. He's going to be able to run the budgets. He's going to be able to work, you know, all the deals that are going on with the city and all, you know, with all the departments and whatnot too. And he, we'll talk, you know, of course, we'll talk daily and keep in touch. And we've been, you know, ever since he didn't get it last time, we've been, you know, talking back and forth over the years. And I'm so glad that he accepted my, you know, my appointment on being the
Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler. Tell us a little bit for those that are unfamiliar with who Shane Cheatham is. Tell us who he is, what he does, and what qualifies him to be CAO.
Shane has a realty business, 318, that he's a broker for that, and he owns 318 Real Estate. But he also works with Carl Ardoin and Jeff Landry with the state. He covers a lot of different parishes all over the north of Louisiana to help all the different little cities and to get water and all the different things for the state. And, you know, he was with the school board for years too, before he left there. Mm-hmm. He was going to come to be a councilman. Then I took him, I wanted him to be my councilman, which, we don't like to talk about the past. It didn't work, but
right.
we're just going to think about the future and how good it's going to be.
Well, it's a new council this time. You don't have the previous council members to deal with.
No, sir. And this council, I mean, we all talk pretty much every day, and our main goal is to do the best for Bossier City.
Confirmation for Shane, you expect it on Tuesday?
Yes, ma'am. Next Tuesday, I'm looking for I think it'll be a unanimous vote for him. I don't think there's any problem. Pretty much all the councilmen are all go for it and are excited.
When does he start? Once he's confirmed, how soon?
Me and him talk. It might be not to like the 1st of February. You know, so he's got to give his time in for the governor. And we're looking at maybe the 1st of February. But, of course, we'll be talking every day and working things out prior to him getting there.
I texted him this morning. He said he had a commitment this morning with his job with the governor. Explain what he's been doing.
I mean, he goes to all these different, you know, cities. Before I got him, he was supposed to get with 72 different mayors and work with them on their cities and whatnot to help benefit whatever problems they have. He'd help them in getting the state money and having the state help with them.
Okay.
He could explain it a whole lot better than me because he does it every day.
He's going to join us tomorrow. He's agreed to join us at the same time tomorrow morning.
This time,
so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But you love talking to him. He's a great guy.
I have to ask you a question that I just got in my email today. It's a completely different subject. Do you mind? It's directed at you.
You always do it. Go ahead.
And you may or may not know anything about this. So it's regarding cameras that are popping up in Bossier.
Intersection cameras.
Yep. I'm quoting from the email. They claim these are license plate readers, but they're supposedly loading facial recognition. There's a camera at the entrance to Live Casino, one at Airline and Viking. Maybe Mayor Chandler can explain why these things are being used. Are these facial recognition cameras, and what's going on?
Well, I have to apologize. I mean, I haven't discussed any of that with any of my workers or anybody. It could be that state police or something. I can find out about that and get back with you, but I...
Okay.
They're called flock cameras?
Sir?
They're called flock cameras?
I tell you the truth, sir, I've not been versed on that. I haven't been talked about
I'm not familiar with that either.
And Bossier has not endorsed anything like the speed zone cameras that Shreveport's put in school zones, and you're not in favor of those, I believe, the last time we spoke, correct?
No, man, we don't need those. Our policemen do their job, and they do it very well.
If these are facial recognition cameras, do you support that?
I mean, it all depends on what they're going to use it for. I mean, are they trying to find, rapists? They're trying to find pedophiles? They're trying to find it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to help the safety of Bossier City and Shreveport, too. If it's going to better the safety of my citizens, yes, I'm for it.
All right. Well, if you'll do a little checking, and we'll follow up with you.
I would love to. And I'm sorry I didn't know that information.
No problem. And I apologize for throwing a curveball. And that's kind of what I love to do.
Always in the last minute. You do a good job.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler. Thank you, Mayor. And we'll talk to you soon.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, following up on our conversation with Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler, you threw him a curveball.
Which I love to do, yeah.
And asking about, because you got an email, first of all, setting that up, you got an email asking about these flock cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a brand name? I don't know what that is.
I don't. That's first I'd heard of it.
I've never heard the phrase flock cameras, but the mayor did after he spoke with us, did some research, and he sent us a text. He says, and I'll quote this: flock cameras are license plate readers only. LPRs have been in Bossier for years. Some are the sheriff's, and some are BCPD. They are used as another tool for law enforcement to keep our citizens safe by locating wanted criminals or people who are missing or even Amber Alert situations. I'm not aware of any facial recognition, and it is my understanding that the cameras do not have that capability.
Okay. Well, good. Because I literally, shortly before the mayor came on the air, we got an email from a listener who said, hey, check out these cameras. These cameras seem to be going up around town, I haven't noticed. I'm not in Bossier a lot, but I hadn't noticed. But he was saying they're popping up around town, and people are claiming they were facial recognition cameras, which the mayor says they are not.
Right.
So
and don't have that capability.
No,
so.
They absolutely do not. They absolutely do not. So
Sheriff's Department and Police Department. So that's. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mayor, for clearing that up.
You bet.
Congratulations on the new appointment.
Mm-hmm.
When we will have Shane coming in tomorrow morning at
yes.
about 7:30, 7:40.
Right.
And we'll speak to the new Bossier CAO.
And also Rusty Scarborough, the Walter B. Jacobs Nature Center is opening to the public on Saturday. They've got everything ready. He is set to go. I mean, this is a
it's
game
exciting.
Changer for the
yes.
Blanchard area, for the whole region, actually. It's a gorgeous park. So he'll tell us what's happening, the big hoodoo, what's going on Saturday, and how you can come out and see the park. So that's real exciting news.
And they're gonna serve up deer steaks, right?
Don't think that's on the menu.
Oh, no, okay.
Don't think that's on the menu.
But that's exciting.
You bet.
And so I was said, wow, it's already Thursday.
I know.
And I heard, was it Richard? Is it Richard Llewellyn? Talking about the holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Monday off.
A lot of people do. No garbage collection in municipalities on Monday. That'll be
right.
moved to Tuesday.
Yeah, so. Your normal day is a Monday
mm-hmm.
in Shreveport and probably Bossier.
Yep.
No trash pickup on Monday.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. You have a lovely.
You too.
I'm planning on it. I'm going to bed early. I'm wiped.
You need to.
After the holidays? I don't know, man.
Get you some sleep.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.